We all know that Seder night is a night of questions and answers. The Torah, in fact, sets it out that way. The Torah, when describing what will happen in the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself writes, V'haya ki yishalcha bincha machar leimar. When your son will someday ask you these questions of what are we doing, the Karban Pesach, the Avodas Hayayim, what's going on, and you're supposed to tell them, Migadito Levincha, you should tell your son in response the story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Rav Huttner points out something really fascinating, that in Hallel, the kapitel which deals with Yetzias Mitzrayim, B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim, Beis Yaakov Me'amlayes, Ha'isri V'l'kachay, in that kapitel, we find something very rare in Sefer Tehillim, that there is actually a question and an answer. Malcha Yom Kisonus, Hayardein Tisod Lachar. Half of the kapitel is formatted B'derach She'elo Tshuva, because that is what Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim is all about. There's questions and there's answers. And the question, of course, is why does it have to be this way? Why can't it just be a lecture? Why can't the father just sit at Seder night at the head of the table without any questions, without fielding questions from the children? Just tell us what happened. Sit down and give us story time. Tell us what happened on the way out of Egypt. And that should be good enough. Why need it be B'derach She'elo Tshuva? Why is this such an integral part of the Mitzvah Halayla of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? It's not just telling it over, but it must be B'derach She'elo Tshuva to the extent that the Gemara tells us that if you don't have a child, then your wife should ask you, and if you don't have a wife or you're sitting alone, you should ask it to yourself. Why the stress on questions and answers? I think the simple answer to that would be that there's really no substitute in terms of a teaching technique than opening up the floor to questions or asking questions to others. I remember when I was a freshy Rebbe, before I came here some 19 years ago. So I was a Rebbe in a high school in the 12th grade, and I had a small class, and they were perhaps not the Mitzuyonim, and they were all amazing boys, in case there any of them are watching, and today they're Mitzuyonim after they had me as a Rebbe, but they were not an easy class to handle, and the Manal told me as such that, you know, just maybe you want to wear a football helmet when you come into the classroom, they're a little bit rough. And I basically told them that the way we're going to work this is I'm going to read the Gemara. I know you have maybe very little interest in hearing me read the Gemara, but I'm going to once in a while skip a word in a Gemara, in a Rashi, in a Taisis, and if you get that word that I skipped, then you're going to get $5. And $5 back then was a lot of money, I guess. And I had them literally glued to their seats. They were just waiting for me to skip that word, which of course I never did, but I'm joking. Sometimes I did, but then I double or nothing did, and I had a way of getting out of it. But and they were sitting like this, like I had a group of stiflers in my class all of a sudden. And the principal, the Manal, like used to pass by the hallway like expecting to duck. And, you know, he looked into the classroom and he saw how, you know, they were sitting on the edge of their seats. Because sometimes when you bribe somebody or when you ask them questions, when you have a contest, when you have something that's exciting, when you pose a question, the juices start flowing. There's a competitiveness and there's an interest, there's a mystery to a question. And we like mysteries. And so when a child asks a father a question, the father is intrigued and the son is intrigued. When the father asks the children questions, it creates a bond of generations. It creates a beautiful embrace, an intellectual embrace between a father and a child, between a Rebbe and a Talmud. So many shiurim have different styles in yeshivas. Some have a lecture style, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And then there are some more interactive shiurim that the Rebbe encourages questions, or the Rebbe himself asks Talmidim questions. And that's a shiur that's, I think, alive. It comes alive. It becomes animated through questions and answers. And the Torah knew this. The Torah understood that if you want to get your child really excited, really enthusiastic about understanding what happened on the Leil HaSeder, the absolute best technique is to open it up to questions. Let him ask you questions, you ask them questions, and by doing so, it creates an air of excitement and freshness. You gotta tell Levincha, you should tell it over to your child, but dafka b'derech shelo tshuva. Rav Putner used to say that we say at the end of Maggid that Seder night was a night that went me'afela l'argadol, it went from darkness to a great light. And Rav Putner says that's why we ask b'derech shelo tshuva, because when a person has a question, he's cloaked in darkness. And when you're able to give an answer, it's an argadol. You provide light. You give light all of a sudden to dark eyes. And that's no doubt the simple answer to why the agadol was expected to be the derech shelo tshuva. Because there's no greater way of encouraging intellectual stimulation than that. I think on a deeper level, I'd like to say that all the questions and answers at the Seder are really to get to one major question. Questions and answers, that the fact that the Torah couched it b'derech shelo tshuva means that the Torah really wants to get to one question. The Torah really wants to answer the question that has plagued mankind since man was born. Any thinking individual really has a question that should haunt him day and night. And that's a question of, why am I here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Why did He create the world? And why did He put me in the world? Rav Nachman Breslov, it's said that he used to say that on the day that a person is born, it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that this world was incomplete without Him. Every single person on their birthday, there's a good reason to make a party, because it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt that I was necessary in this world. But why am I necessary in this world? Shouldn't we all want to know the answer to that? Why did God create this world b'chlal, and why did He make me b'frat? This is a question that should really bother us. Was it so that we should eat ice cream, so we should have pizza, so that we should play ball, that we should why Hashem make me? Why? What's my purpose in life? I normally don't like quoting anybody but Gedalia Yisrael, but I saw an incredible quote from Albert Einstein, and I wanted to share it with you. Listen to what he says. He's a Yid, and he's a Chacham, and listen to what he said once. I once thought that if I could ask God one question, I would ask how the universe began, because once I knew that, all the rest is simply equations. But as I got older, I became less concerned with how the universe began. Rather, I want to know why he started the universe. For once I knew that answer, then I would know the purpose of my own life. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world? What was the Tachlis HaBriya? And if I understand why there's a creation that was absolutely necessary for the Rabbeinu Shalom to do, then I'll be able to understand why I'm here. So people run to and fro. You look at Jews and non-Jews alike, and they're doing all sorts of activities. They're running and they're working and they're eating and they're sleeping and they're playing and they're doing whatever they're doing. But thinking people have to ask this question. It begs a question: why did Hashem create this world, and why am I here? That's the question that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is supposed to answer. This isn't really such a chiddush, what I'm saying, because the Torah itself says this. The Torah itself says, that Ulaman to Saper Bazne Bincho Ben Bincho, you should tell your children someday and your grandchildren what I did in Egypt, Esasher Salalti Mitzrayim, Vesaisasher Samdibam, and all of the miracles that I performed in Egypt. Why? The Idatem Kiani Hashem. Also that you should know that I am Hashem. You should know who I am. You should know that I exist. You should understand fully that I created you. And you should find purpose and meaning in your life. That's the greatest Shelo Tshuva that we could come away from the Seder with. All the other questions and answers are just getting to the real question and answer. It's all just leading up to the existential question of why am I here? Why did God make me? That's what a child needs to know. V'yidatem k'ani Hashem. It's the Yisayid HaYisaydis of Emunah. Somehow, some way, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim was designed, this evening was designed, so that every single child and every single Jew should be able to have the greatest dose of emunah that should last us throughout the entire year until next Pesach. If we do the Seder right, that's the tachlis. Beyond all of the mitzvahs halayla, or perhaps because of them, the matzis and the marah, the afikaiman, the haggadah, the magid, the kiddush, the kittel, all of these things are props. Just to be able to understand the Yedatem K'ani Hashem, that question of why did Hashem create the world and why am I here, that question should be crystallized, crystal clear at the end of the night. At the end of the night, we ask one final question. Echad Mi'Yodea. Who knows one? Echad ani yodea, I know one. Echad Elokeinu shebashamayim v'aretz. Hashem is one. Bashamayim v'aretz. In heaven and earth. That is the final punchline, if you will, of the Haggadah. Always look to the back of the book if you want to know the punchline. If you want to know the tachlis of the book, always look at the last page. The last page of the Haggadah, right before Chag Gadiah, Echad Miyadeya. That is the final analysis of the Haggadah, understanding that Echad Elokeinu Shemayim Baretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created heaven and earth, and everything in it is from Him. That's the Yedatem Ki Ani Hashem, that's the tachlis of Sifrei Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Haggadah, Al Regel Achas, if you'd ask me, what's the purpose of the entire Haggadah? It's to answer that burning question of Echad Miyadeya. Who knows one? Do you know what one is? At the end of the night, when people are dozing off, you already had four cups of wine, it's late at night, and you sort of try to wake somebody up and ask them a question, Echad Miyadeya, what's one? One is Hashem. Every Jew fundamentally has to know at the end of the night that one is Hashem in the heaven and the earth who created everything. That is the tachlis of the entire night. Yidatem ki ani Hashem. And if we get the Seder right, that she'ela will be answered so clearly by our fathers, by the leaders of the Seder, or by us if we are part of the Seder, that it will last us throughout the generations till the end of time. To our children, to our grandchildren, and to us. That's the tachlis ha-seder, v'yidatem ki ani Hashem. That's the ultimate question that burns in any thinking person's mind. B'derech she'ela, you gotta provide a tshuva. Tshuva, the entire Seder night is that answer. Of course, we ask many questions on Seder night, but it's really for the purpose of answering that one major global cosmic question of man. Why did Hashem create the world, and what am I here for? So let's get to that question. Why did Hashem create the world? Why did Hashem create the world? And the answer is found in the Ramban, the most famous Ramban in Chumash, by a landslide. Ask any mashgiach in the world what's the most famous Ramban. I remember my mashgiach in high school used to tell us we have to know this Ramban Baal Peh. There's no greater, more important, fundamental Ramban than the Ramban Seif Parshas Bayit. And if you've never seen this Ramban, it's high time that you did. And if you've heard it, you're going to hear it differently today. The Ramban asks the question that has bothered so many. Why is it that we need so many constant reminders of Yetzias Mitzrayim, not just on Seder night? Seder night, it really comes to clusters of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But throughout the year, every day we put on tzitzis, Yetzias Mitzrayim, Tefillin, Zeich Letzias Mitzrayim, Mezuzah, Zeich Letzias Mitzrayim, Kiddush, Zeich Letzias Mitzrayim. Everything is Zeich Letzias Mitzrayim. Dozens of mitzvahs are Zeich Letzias, Pidgin Aben. You go down the list, there's no shortage. Pesach, Matzah, Maror. Everything is Zeich Letzias Mitzrayim. Yontif, Shabbos, everything is Zeich Letzias Mitzrayim. Why do we need so many mitzvahs, Zeich Letzias Mitzrayim? What is so great about Yetzias Mitzrayim that we need constant reminders, daily reminders, about Yetzias Mitzrayim? Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Yetzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim Yetzeichem Elokeichem the Emuna Kol Zayis, constantly talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim, discussing, it's one of the mitzvahs, one of the zechiras, to remember Zachar Esayim Azeh Asher Yetzasim Mitzrayim, remember that day. Why is this such an important seminal event in Jewish history that we have to constantly remember? Do we have to remember every day of the year other things? Do we have to remember Bria Sayim every day of the year? Do we have to remember? There are many things that happened. Do we remember what happened to Sancheirev? Do we remember what happened to Haman? Do we remember? Yetzias Mitzrayim is something every day we have to remind ourselves of. Why? So the Ramban so beautifully writes. I wish I could read it with you. Maybe I should. But I'm not going to. But he does say in such beautiful words, and it's kedai really, if you want some homework over Ben Azmanim, to learn this Ramban B'Iyun. Spend time, find a chavrusa, learn with your whoever you have to learn with, just take them and ask them to learn privately with you this Ramban. The Ramban says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to know that He created the world. Because if He creates the world and nobody knows that He created the world, then what's it for? We have to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Not only did He create the world, but He continuously runs the world. And this is something that's so key to understanding Emunah with. When I say He runs the world, that means that everything that happens in life happens because the Ribbono Shel Olam caused it to happen. Everything. Not just the big things, not just the Nisim HaGedolim HaMefursamim, as the Ramban says, like Yetzias Mitzrayim, like the Eser Makos, like Kriyas Yamsuf. Those were big, godly endeavors. Open miracles. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed in Mitzrayim that He could do. He's in charge of the big things. But the Ramban says you're supposed to extrapolate and understand that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu does those big things, if He could override nature, then that means that He also owns nature. He controls nature. Everything that happens, big and small, happens because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to happen. And this is so important for us to understand, because so many times we see good things in life and we say that that's because we did it. We earned it and, I got my degree and I worked very hard in school, and that's why I became very successful, and that's all because of me. And when bad things happen in life, then we start blaming the Ribbono Shel Olam. I just told my children a story that I read the other day, that there was a person who was in a business meeting, very important meeting in Manhattan, and he had to get some fresh air in the middle of the meeting, and he went upstairs to the roof of the building, and he went outside, and the door locked behind him. And so here he was on a roof of a building in Midtown Manhattan. He had to desperately get back to the meeting, so he, he's about to take out his phone to call somebody to open the door for him at the meeting, and then he remembers that he left the phone on the desk of the meeting. So now he's in trouble because no one can hear him. He's banging on the door, but everybody's like a floor or two below. They can't hear him. And so the next thing that he could do is he looks down and he starts hollering down, but they can't hear him on the ground for somebody to know to open the door for him because he's 50 floors up. So what he does is he has like a few coins in his pocket. And he starts throwing coins. He sees a person walking down the street who looks like an ant. And he drops it, and the coin hits the guy's head and falls to the ground, and the guy picks it up and says, "Wow, great." And he keeps walking. And then another guy walks, drops right in front of him. Nobody looks up. He does this like 10, 15 times. Nobody looks up. And then he says, "This is crazy. I'm never going to get out of here." So what he does is he takes a rock off of the roof floor, the rooftop floor, and that he chucks down on, and it hits a guy in the head, and he looks up and he says, "Hey, who did that?" That's how we are in life. When things are good, when I get a job and I get a shidduch and I have a baby and I get a promotion and I win the lottery and everything good is happening, that's all me. That's me. When bad stuff happens, the Ribbono Shel Olam, you don't know what you're doing to me. We believe, suddenly we find faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam in bad times. Because it's so easy to blame God when things aren't going our way. Then we all of a sudden understand that, you know, God is in control. But when things are going well, it's not, we don't need a Rebbeinu Shleim. So we don't need to look up. We just go about our business. You know, the story about a guy who was, he was like a kifer, he didn't believe in God, and he was driving around back to the streets of Manhattan, and he was saying he needed to get a parking spot desperately to get into a meeting, and he said, if there is a God in this world, find me a parking spot. You know, in Manhattan, it's impossible to find a parking spot. And all of a sudden, right in front of the building, a car starts slipping out of the spot, and so the guy says, never mind, God, I got one myself. I found this spot all on my own. That's the way we are. Everything that happens good, it's our doing. The Rebbeinu Shalom wants us to have emunah in everything. Not just in bad times, but in good times. Everything that happens is from Him. In good times and bad times. And things when you get a job and when Rahman al-San you lose a job. When you find the shidduch or Rahman al-San when the shidduch that you thought at where it was going to work out didn't work out. When you're able to be healthy, and Rahman al-San when you're sick. By simchas, and by minan, by non-simchas. Everything that happens in our life is from the Rebbeinu Shalom. When you're able to understand this, life is a pure pleasure. Life is joy. Life is happiness because you're not blaming everything. You're not upset. You're not angry. You realize that whatever happens, it's for a real reason. There was a Rebbeinu Shalom in the world, and the Rebbeinu Shalom decides my fate. If it's good, if it's bad, that's fine because the Rebbeinu Shalom ultimately knows what's good for me. This is such a critical piece of the puzzle of life, and nobody realizes it. People, if we would know what emunah is, if we would really be able to be ma'minim, b'nei ma'minim, as we should be, life would look so different. We would never be upset, we would never be despondent, we would never be angry, we would never blame and have bad feelings towards our families, towards our friends, towards our rabbanim, towards our community, towards our rabbeim, because everything is from the Rebbeinu Shalom. There's nothing that happens that's bad if you have real emunah. Real emunah means, for good or for bad, everything is from the Rebbeinu Shalom. Well, what do I want? The Rebbeinu Shalom just spared me, by causing this to happen, he spared me a big thing, a big calamity that might have potentially happened had I done this. All this is the legacy of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Emuna v'yedatem v'yini Hashem is learned, says the Ramban, from Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do miracles constantly. He doesn't want to do miracles constantly. That's not part of the master plan. He can't do miracles constantly, not because he can't. He can, but he doesn't want to because that would ruin the whole game of life with Bechira. If everything was miraculous, open miracles right and left, no one would have questions of Emunah. And part of life is questioning and coming to resolutions. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a one-time amazing event called Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's not going to ever repeat that again. And if we're able to really understand that Yetzias Mitzrayim happened and believe it, and I'm saying that because many people actually don't believe it. Many people think that it's a fairy tale. But if you believe that it really happened, that the Eser Makis really happened, Dam Tzvar Dei Akinim Ar, they all happened. That Kriyas Yamsuf, the sea actually split in two. That happened. If you believe that, then you'll believe that there's a God that can do anything, big and small. And you'll be happy. You'll go through life with emunah pshuta, believing that everything that happens for the good, that there's no bad. I'm not looking at what my friend has. I don't care which vacation he's going to, which Pesach program he's going to, how much money he's making. I don't care. Because the Rebbeinu Shalom gave him those things because that's what the Rebbeinu Shalom felt that he needed. And the Rebbeinu Shalom gave me my things because that's what he felt that I needed. I have the tools to get through my life accordingly, and he has the tools that he needs to get through his life, and what I have is not his, what he has is not mine, and I'm not living for somebody else, and he's not living for me. I'm just trying to do my own personal job as being the best person, human being, Eved Hashem, as I could be. This is the legacy of Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is what it is. And the Ramban writes so clearly the answer to Einstein's question. He says, Beferush, the kavanas kol mitzvahs, the kavana of this mitzvah, of that mitzvah, of all mitzvahs, shenamin belekeinu, that we should believe in Hashem, v'noida elav shehu baranu, and to acknowledge and to thank Him for creating us. V'hi kavanas hayetzira. Remember what Einstein wanted to know? I want to know why he started the universe. He should have looked in the Ramban. This Ramban answers this question. You know why he started the universe? She'ein lanu tam acher b'yitzira rishayna. There's no other reason. Philosophers have racked their brains for millennia trying to figure out the kavanas hayitzira. Why did Hashem do this? Why did Hashem create this galaxy? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create our planet Earth? For what? The aim le'elyon b'tachtayinim chefetz. The truth is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no need for us. Chutz milvad zeh, except for this. She'yeda ha'adam v'yayda le'lekav shebaru. Except for this reason, really two reasons. Number one, she'yeda, that we should know that there is a God. She'yeda ha'adam v'yayda le'lekav shebaru, and to acknowledge and to thank Him for creating me. That's my tachlis abriya. That's the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and it created me. Why? She'yeda v'she'yeda. So that I should know that He exists. Without a Bria, without HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating the universe, creating planet Earth, creating Klal Yisrael, creating me, who would know that He exists? Maybe some angels. But who would really, with Bechira, believe that He exists? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created planet Earth with human beings, mortals, so that we should know that He exists, not only know, acknowledge that He exists, thank Him for creating me. That's the Tachlis HaBriya, in a nutshell. Echad mi'edeya, echad mi'edeya, echad alakein shvash ma'amaretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. Heaven, earth, he dwells in heaven, but he's very much present on earth. In everything that happens, I acknowledge him, I say Baruch Hashem, Amir Tzah Hashem, Haidu Hashem Ki Tayv, no matter what happens, good or bad. And then thank him for creating you. The Ramban continues. It's like an addictive Ramban. I would like to stop, but I can't. The kavanas roim masakel betfilos, and this is the understanding of why we daven. We daven so many times, three times a day at least. Going to shul, shachris, mincha, ma'ariv, shachris, mincha, ma'ariv, shachris, mincha, ma'ariv. Why? Why do we call out HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our tefillas, kavanas batei knesiyos, b'schus tefillas harab, why do we have to make minyanim? Zehu, sheyeh l'bnei adam makim yiskabtzu v'yoydu l'kel shebarim. Shul is an instrument. Tefillah b'tzibur is merely an instrument that we have a place to gather and to express our thanksgiving to the Rabbeinu Shem that He created us. V'imtziyam, made us, v'yifars muzeh, and to publicize this in shul, to publicize this through davening so many times, the Yaimru Lefanav, and to declare before him, Briyesecha Anachnu, we are your creatures. You created us. We believe that you created us. We believe you designed a world for us. We believe that everything and anything that happens in this world is for me. That's the fundamental of faith that the mitzvahs of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim afford every Jew daily. The epicenter of all of this emunah, all this pent-up emunah in the Bria, is Leil HaSeder, the night of Seder, where we really double down on all the mitzvahs of Zechu Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's really filling up our gas tanks with emunah, with the purest of emunah. Not the 87 emunah, not the 9, but the real, not the 89, not the 93 emunah, the real purest form of emunah, the most expensive gas we fill up our tanks with on Seder night. Really expensive gas. Somebody just sent me a text with one of these cute things. It says, how is it possible that you could buy a goat for 2 zuzim when macaroons cost me $8.99? Things are very expensive, Seder night. Why are we doing this? Why are we paying $30 a pound for matzahs? You know why? V'yadatim k'ani Hashem. It's worth every penny. Because what we're doing is we're filling up our tanks with emunah pshuta, that there's a Rabbeinu Shalom in the world. Now, you might think and say, what's the chiddush of this shmuz? Doesn't everybody know this? No. Not everybody knows this. If everybody knows this, then we wouldn't need a Seder night. Rav Volbi once went to Rav Chatzko Levenstein, the great mashgiach of mashgiachim, and Rav Volbi was schmoozing with him about topics of Musar, and the last question that Rav Volbi asked Rav Chatzko was, I'm going back to my yeshiva now. Mashgiach, please tell me what should be the message that I'm giving over to the Bachrim. This wasn't Pesach, this is Stam. You know what Rav Volbi said to say to the Bachrim in the yeshiva when he goes back? He says, tell them that there is a Rabbeinu Shalom in the world. And Rav Volbi was, okay, I think they might know that. They're in yeshiva, they're learning Gemara 3 starim a day, they're big lamdanim, they daven 3 times a day. But yet Rav Chatzko Levenstein felt that the greatest message that Rav Volbi, the great the Ali Shur, in his great yeshiva in Be'er Yaakov, which is not a shvachi yeshiva, it's a real Ivy League yeshiva, the greatest message and the most important fundamental message to give is that there's a God in the world. Echad mi'idea, echad ani idea, echad elokeinu shvach shamayim v'aretz. That is not a layup, it's not a given. A person can put on tefillin every day, a person can daven 3 times a day, a person can give tzedakah, get married, have a family, send them to yeshiva, take a lulav and esrog, do shiluach hakeh, and not know that there's a Rabbeinu Shalom in the world. It's amazing. And the Ramban is saying that is what the purpose of the Yetzira is. Forget about Yetzias Mitzrayim. The purpose of Yetzira is to know that there's a God. How do we know there's a God in the world? How do I know what my kavanah, what my purpose is, that I should know about Him and that I should thank Him? That's from Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim, understand this well. Yetzias Mitzrayim taught mankind that God exists. Before that, guesswork. Yetzias Mitzrayim proved to the world, who suddenly saw nature being overridden. Think about what happened. I mean, just use your brain for a minute to understand what happened. Oceans split. What does that mean, ocean split? You have an ocean and all of a sudden it's split. Now in the world of science fiction and Hollywood, maybe it's not such a big deal. But in reality, if you were standing by an ocean and it's split, I think that would be pretty impressive. I think that would prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's a God in the world. I think if you saw Dam in the Yaar, after Moshe Rabbeinu tells power from Hashem that it's going to happen, I think that's pretty impressive. And Tzvardeya, and Kirim, and Arvin, Makis Cheshef, and Makis Bechayres, every firstborn, look at Hashkacha Pratis, every firstborn Egyptian died, whether they were in Egypt or out of Egypt. And every person that was a firstborn that was out of Egypt, that happened to be in Egypt that night, died. They figured out if people were mamzerim or not through Makis Bechayres. People thought they were firstborns, all of a sudden they weren't dead, you know, but some other child, you know, all of a sudden, like, you realize, wait a minute, I'm not the Bechayr? Things were happening. There was a God in the world. God was able to determine everything. The Chlal Befrat, the Adatim Kani Hashem, this was an explosion of revelation that there's a God in the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to repeat that again, so listen carefully the first time. Yetzias Mitzrayim is a night that we're able to understand it clearly. We see it with our own eyes. We ourselves are nigal, every single Lel HaSeder. We see it with our eyes. And if we're able to see with our eyes, then we're able to get the emunah to last us through every day of the year, because we're able to understand that everything happens because there's a Rebbeinu Shel Olam. There's hashkacha klolis, there's hashkacha pratis. Min anisim agdeil mefursam, as the Ramban writes, from the great, these great cataclysmic nisim teach us that everything happens with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's design. Everything. If you believe in Kriyas Yamsuf, you can't believe that, you know, if you slip on the ice, then that wasn't because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wanted it that way. That we can't understand. We could believe in Yetzias Mitzrayim, but not the small stuff. If you believe in the big stuff, you got to believe in the small stuff. If you believe in the small stuff, now you have a life. Because now you're able to have such a purpose. My purpose is to recognize the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and to thank Him for everything, for the good stuff and the bad. Not just the good stuff, but the bad stuff. When bad stuff happens to people, you have to thank Him for it, because it really was for a purpose. I don't have to tell you a million stories to get you to understand this, but so many times, you know, people thought that this was going to be a horrible thing, and end up being the biggest bracha in the world. Either because it led to a greater opportunity, or sometimes because it avoided a tremendous tzara. But this happens all the time. I mean, I don't have to tell you stories right now. We know it. I think we know how often it happens, hashgacha pratis, how great it is to have a Rebbeinu Shel Olam that loves us so much, that cares for us, and that sometimes gives us a patch. And sometimes the patch is because He wants to get us on the straight and narrow path. Sometimes the patch is to avoid a bigger patch. But isn't it great to live in a world that there's a Rebbeinu Shel Olam? Imagine if we wouldn't have a Rebbeinu Shel Olam in our life. Imagine if we wouldn't have a Seder night. Imagine if we were just a person that was not a Maimon. Imagine. Who do you blame? Who do you acknowledge? Who do you pin your hopes on? What am I doing? I'm living, I eat cereal in the morning, and then I eat pizza for lunch, and I eat a burger for dinner, I go to sleep, and then repeat the same thing the next day, I go to my job. For what? What are you doing? A yid has purpose in life. I'm acknowledging by waking up, by saying, Maidani lefanecha. I wash negelbasser. I make birchas hashachar. I go to a daf. I dive into the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, put on my tefillin, put on my talis, say Kriya Shema, say Shema Nasrei, say the Shir Shel Yayim. I start my day, learn a little bit, go to work l'shem shamayim, eat lunch. Before I eat lunch, I make a bracha. When I finish, I bench. She yeda v'yeda. I know that there is a Rebbeinu Shel Olam in the world. I'm acknowledging His presence day after day. Mincha in the office, most beautiful thing in the world. There's mincha minyanim all over the world in offices. You stop your business meetings, you stop your tax returns, you stop whatever you're doing, you stop your surgery, and you, well, I don't know if you stop your surgery, but you go and you daven mincha. What's that saying? It's saying that this is why I'm here. I'm not at work to eat so that I could put food on the table. Of course, that's important also. I'm going to work so that I could bring my children up to acknowledge that there's a Rebbe Hashem in the world. I could send my children to yeshiva. I could buy kosher food. I could buy a pair of tefillin for my son. I can buy those macaroons and those matzahs and the maror. That's why I'm going to work. Sheyeda, that I know that there's a Rebbe Hashem v'yayda, and I thank him. That's why I'm here. That's the answer to Einstein's big problem. Why you started the universe? Sheyeda b'sheyeda. And once you know the answer, then I would know the purpose of my life. I know the purpose of my life. This is the purpose of my life. I'm supposed to know that there's a Rebbe Hashem in the world. That's why he created me. And then I'm supposed to thank him and acknowledge him and spread this message to the world that there's a God. Don't worry. Everything is for a purpose, good and bad. When you have that knowledge, you are so empowered to begin your life anew. B'riyasecha anachnu, I'm your creature. You're a brand new creature. I didn't get it until now, but now I get it. Because you show me through Yetzias Mitzrayim how everything is you. B'yayim l'fana b'riyasecha anachnu. To proclaim once and for all, I am your B'riyah. If a person will come into this world to once say, B'riyasecha anachnu, I am your creature, it was Kedaya's whole B'riyah. Everything was worthwhile. For one time. To one time say to the Rebbe Hashem, I have emunah in you. I believe in you. You exist. You created me. You give me purpose in life. Whatever I'm doing is for you. And I thank you for the opportunity to serve you. And I thank you that you're guiding me in every step of the way. Whatever happens is all because you have determined that this is the best thing for me. That emunah could be so satisfying that a person would never be sad in life if he would really get the message of the Yedatam Ki Ani Hashem, of Echad Mi'Yodea. That cosmic, global question of Echad Mi'Yodea, why did Hashem create the world? And why did he create me in the world? That's the question that begs an answer Seder night, because Seder night's the only night that could get that answer straight, clear, pure, to the point that you will never forget it. I wanted to just elaborate a few minutes. Some ma'aris in the Haggadah that really point to this. Because Haggadah, you're going to maybe think that, well, I don't really see that in the Haggadah. If that's really the point, then why are we giving like a discovery, you know, an Aish discovery thing at night, where, you know, if we really want to prove God's existence? If you look carefully at the Haggadah, you find that this is really what the Haggadah is saying. You know, most of the Haggadah is darshaning psukim. And you think that the obvious place that the Haggadah, the Baal Haggadah, would choose as the Maror Mekayimus sheet to really delve into the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim would be the Parshias in Shema Yisrael, Rabbi, Peshalach. Isn't that the main source? Wouldn't that be the main source on the score sheet? But you don't find those psukim, I don't think you find them at all mentioned in the Haggadah. I don't believe that there, you know, obviously there's a few here and there, but like you don't use that as the basis of the Haggadah. What's the basis of the Haggadah? What is the basis of the Haggadah? What is the main source that everything is darshan from? All of the medrashim and everything are coming from the darshan of the psukim of Parshas Bikurim. Bikurim is all the way at the end of the Torah, Parshas Kisavai. And we darshan Arami Averabi, Ve Mitzrayma, Ve Aram Sham Se Ma'at, Ve Sham Lagai Gadol, Atzmarab. Every word is parsed, every word is dissected, every word is darshan. Most Haggadah is that parsha Bikurim. All the drushes, Vayanunu, and Vanitzak al Hashem, that all comes from Parshas Kisavai. Nothing Shemais, no Vayra, no Vayb, no Bishalach, just Parshas Bikurim. Why? Because what is Bikurim? Bikurim is a farmer plants his fruit, plants his crop with Shiva Minim, and he works really hard. He plants seeds, he invests a lot of money to plant those seeds, he hires workers, he's tilling the soil, and he's watering, he's irrigating, and finally, he gets something growing. You know the satisfaction of that growth when you finally see the fruits of your labor, literally, and you want to do what? You want to taste it. I want to taste that grape that I put $1 million into this farm to get. The Rebbeinu says, no. You take those grapes, you take those figs, take the pomegranates, and you go, put it in a basket, bring it to the kohen, and present it, and then do mikra bikurim. Make this public declaration of thanksgiving to the Rebbeinu Shem, starting all the way from Aram Yavi, Bayer Mitzrayim Avi Shem, and then he took us to this land, but you describe the whole, in a nutshell, Yitzias Mitzrayim up until this point, and now I thank you. Hine Evesi as Rishis Pri Adama, I'm giving you my first fruits. Thank you. Is there a greater manifestation of Sheyeda V'Sheyeda? That I acknowledge that you exist and I thank you more than Mikra Bikurim. There is no greater thing than that. In fact, the Medrash says at the beginning of the Torah, one of the first Medrash, Bereishis Rabba, Bereishis Bara Elokim, Bishvil HaTorah Shnikereishis, Bishvil Yisrael Shnikereishis, and Bishvil Bikurim Shnikereishis. That Rashi didn't say. Rashi did say Yisrael and Torah on Chumash, but he doesn't say Bikurim. But if you look in the Medrash, it brings Bikurim. For Bikurim, the entire world was created. Why? Because you know why the world was created? The Ramban tells us. The world was created quite simply, Sheyeda V'Sheyeda. That I should know that there's a God and I should thank Him. That's Bikurim. And so, if you read between the lines of the Haggadah, not even reading between the lines, but if you understand, if you're in touch and in tune with what's going on in the Haggadah, we're darshaning Be'ion Gadol, the Parsha Bikurim, because it's supposed to fill ourselves up with Hakaras HaTayim for Rebbeinu Shem, Sheyeda V'Sheyeda. That's Yitzias Mitzrayim. Thank you. Thank you. You're here, you took us out of Mitzrayim, here we are in Eretz Yisrael and in America, and we are acknowledging that you exist, and we're thanking you for everything big and small. That's Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's why the Parsha of Bikurim is so pivotal in the narrative of the Haggadah, because it's all about the Bikurim, it's all about thanking you, it's all about saying to the Rebbeinu Shem B'riyei Secha Anachnu. The Ramban says, "Umin anisim agdelim mefursamim adam meidim anisim anistarim shemisayid ha'tayra kula." And then he says, Shein Ladam Chelak B'Tayras Moshe Rabbeinu. You don't have a Chelak in Tayras. Don't think that you're from without knowing this. He says, you don't have a Chelak in Tayras Moshe. You know what that means if Ramban is saying this? You have no Shaykhas to Chumash. You have no Shaykhas to the Tayra Kodesha if you don't believe this. Don't think that because you're doing all the traditional mitzvahs that you have a Shaykhas to the Tayra. You only have a Shaykhas to the Tayra if you believe in what I'm saying, says Ramban. Until you believe that everything that happens to us, everything, kulam nisim, they're all miracles. There is no such thing as coincidence. There's no such thing as happenstance. There's no such thing as nature. It's all the Rebbeinu Shem. Don't think, well, nature is, the Meshech Chachma says that there's no more constant miracle than nature. Nature is nothing more than a constant miracle, but it's a miracle. You have to believe that. You go out, you see an ocean, you see a tree, you see a flower, you see a bird. That's not nature. It's not Mother Nature. Mother Nature is just a theoretical way of trying to bring God, take God out of the equation. So we call it Mother Nature. God is nature. Everything in nature is the hand of the Rebbeinu Shalom expressed through beautiful things of nature. But everything is, there's no such thing as it just happened naturally. That's kfira. Coincidentally, that's kfira. It just happened, no. Nothing happened by random. Everything happens for a reason. If you don't believe that, the Ramban says you have no chel b'tar z'mesh Rebbein. I'm sorry, you're not a card-carrying member of Klal Yisrael if you don't believe this. we look a little further in the Haggadah, it says, "V'rav k'mo shenema." At this point in the Haggadah, I always start, I think, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one in the world, but at this part, this is always like the decline of the Haggadah at that point. Because at this point is when, like, you know, I think everybody starts racing through it to get to Shulchan Aruch, and there's a reason why that happens, because, first of all, it's generally late, I guess, by then, but also because it's sort of like a very, at this, it's such a hard paragraph to understand. Darshan Varav from that, from the Bikurim. Varav Kameshanema, we were many, as it says. Revava Katsema Chasod Nisaticha. You made us many like the grass of the earth. The grass of the fields. And then Vatavayu Badi Adaim, you can't even translate this in front of young children. Becomes like it speaks about Aram the area, you weren't clothed, and very graphic. You know, descriptions of Klal Yisrael describing us as the growing like the grass of the field, and like sort of it gets very convoluted almost, and then you just start rushing through the rest. What is this? What's the significance of Rav Kamashin Emar? Revava Katsema Hasad in Isatifa. You know what the significance I think is? That Klal Yisrael was Nimshal like to grass? Grass is a very, very significant thing in the world. You know why? Because the Torah says, right after Maisa Bereishis, the Torah says that V'chal Siach HaSadeh Terem Yevaretz V'chal Esa HaSadeh Terem Yitznach Ki Lo Yimter. Rain did not fall. All the grass was sort of at the edge of the soil, the tip of the soil, waiting to burst through the soil, but it didn't come because Hashem didn't yet send rain. There is no man to lavay, and Rashi understands lavay means like tefillah. That until man came to daven to the Rabbeinu Shalom, there was no purpose. The grass didn't grow yet. My timer, Rashi says, why did rain not come? If he saw them, I am lavay as adamo. They makir b'tayvas and shal geshamim. No one was here to acknowledge the beauty of rain. What a gift rain is. I once saw a story from a Victor Miller. You know, there once, you know, sometimes you're walking outside, you're walking home from shul maybe, and all of a sudden it starts pouring, torrential rains. What do? You start running home, you run under shelter, you try to find an awning to stand under it until it stops, you run into a building, like it, you know, you just want to get home. So Rav Victor Miller was walking with, Rav Victor Miller was known to like be madly in love with God. And he saw God in everything, in an apple seed, and he just had such a munah in everything. And he was like walking in the rain normally, like as if he was even slowed down his pace, and they asked him, you know, Zayd, like, oh, come on, it's raining. He says, the Rabbi Shalom sending down buckets of Gishmei Bracha. He says, Gishmei Bracha, without rain we wouldn't have anything. We'd have no vegetables, we'd have no fruit, we'd have no water to drink. Why would I want to like deny the Rabbeinu Shalom his due? Why would I not make it like into like a bad thing? It's a beautiful thing, rain. Until man came along, no one could say this. There was no Avigdor Miller in the world to say this. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited to send rain until an Adam came along who can acknowledge his existence, who could thank him for all that he does. And once he came and acknowledged it, he davened, v'yeradu, v'tzamchu elonis v'adishai, suddenly all nature started coming to the fore. I think that's what the point of the Haggadah is saying at this point. Revava katzema chasad nisatifa shneemar, as the Pasuk says, Revava katzema chasad nisaticha. You Klal Yisrael, you're like the grass that's coming through the earth. Because the grass, the first grass, only came about once there was tefillah. An acknowledgement that there's a Rabbeinu Shalom in the world. That's what Klal Yisrael became. Klal Yisrael became the instruments of the Rabbeinu Shleilam in the world to acknowledge B'Yosecha Anachnu, to say Sheyeda V'Yayda. That's what grass is. When you look at grass, you should see this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited for man to come and acknowledge that he exists and thank him for it. And then the grass started growing. That's what Klal Yisrael became. Revava Katzema Chasad Nisaticha. You made us like the grass. You made us the instruments to scream to the world, to declare to the world, Amzu Yatzarti Li Tilosi Saberu. I created this nation, says God, so that I should give, they should give forth my praise. That's Revava Katzema Chasad. And then what's the culmination of Magid? Hallel. Seder and I, we say Hallel. Why? Because that's our purpose. Sheyeda v'sheyeda. That's the whole Seder night. It's Bikurim. It's Revava Katzema Chatzad. It's Hallel. Where do we say Hallel, by the way, on Seder night? Many people have the minhag not just to say it at home. They say it where? In Shul. Isn't that a strange thing? It's a strange thing to say Hallel in Shul. It's strange to say it at night altogether. It's the only time of the year we say Hallel at night, but that's a different problem. But to say it in Shul? And there's a Masechta Seferim that says to do it, and it's different minhagim, to yes say it, to not say it. But I think according to the Ramban, it's very gishmak. The Ramban told us that the purpose of the Bria, the purpose of Klal Yisrael, the purpose of the Yetzirah, we have no other kavana. We have no other kavana of the Bria, of the Yetzirah, but to know Hashem exists, to thank Him, and that's the purpose of what? Of Raimus HaKayel, and Tfil Vavate Knesiyos. To get together and say B'Yosecha Anachnu. That's Hallel and Shul, Seder night. We don't want to miss that part of Emunah. We don't want to miss that part of understanding why we're here. So we daven, we can't even contain ourselves. We have to first hop a Hallel and Shul, together with a whole tzibur, together to say to the Rabbeinu Shalom, B'Yosecha Anachnu B'Rabim. This is what Seder night is. Seder night is basically checking off all the boxes of this Ramban at the end of Seder Parshas Bud. All the mitzvahs halayla, tefil b'roim mitzakel, b'vatei k'dei siyais, sheyeda v'sheyeda, that's Seder night. That's the answer to the main question of the night, of echad mi yodea, echad ani yodea, echad elokeinu shebashamayim v'aretz. Reb Simcha Bunim Mipshischa used to say a story, a mashal. It says, once upon a time, there was a person, a gevir, a very wealthy individual, who bought a very, very chash of a horse, like one of these stallions, you know, a very rare breed from Egypt, like very chash of a horse. And, you know, racing horses could sometimes go for $1 million, $2 million easy. And he wanted very much to protect this horse. He buys an investment, invests in such an animal. He wants to make sure that nobody steals it, it doesn't run away. So he built a state-of-the-art stable with all the security systems that would be needed to keep the animal in, and the locks and the gates. But he still wasn't satisfied. He was still so neurotic and so concerned that someday this horse is going to get out of the stable. So he hired a guard for this horse. On top of all the security measures, he also hired a guard, security guard. And the security guard was a very nice guy, and when he hired him, he says, listen, I have a very chash of a horse in the stable. I'm hiring you to do one thing to make sure that the horse stays in the stable, that it doesn't run away. You think you're up to the task. He says, I'm gonna try. He says, try to be a little bit more, you know, a little more conviction, I don't wanna hear from you. He says, okay, I think I'm really going to be able to do it. He says, okay, good enough. He says, how do I know that you're not going to fall asleep at night? He says, I'm going to try. He says, no. You can't fall asleep at night. Because if you fall asleep at night, then somebody will break in and take my horse. He says, this is the eighth. So I'm going to give you I'm going to ask you to think of very deep philosophical questions. And you know, you'll think about it, and that it's going to keep you up at night so that you don't fall asleep. He says, okay, I'm going to do that. So the gevir, sort of satisfied, goes back to his house next door to the stable, and he's trying to fall asleep at night, but he just doesn't really trust that the guard is up. He thinks he's probably sleeping and he's imagining his horse running away. So he gets out of his pajamas, he puts on his clothing, he runs down to the stable, and sure enough, the guard was still up. And he says, what's keeping you up? You have a question that you're dealing with? He says, yeah. He says, what's your question? He says, you know, when you bang a nail into a piece of wood, he says, there was wood that the nail was going into. Well, what happened to that wood? Now it's just a hole. Where was all that wood that was being broken through by the hole? And that's what's keeping me up at night. I'm trying to really to think about this problem. So the Gevir says, oh, very good, excellent, keep it up, keep thinking about it, it's a good problem, good. He goes back to his bed, and then he's still up, he still thinks that the guy's falling asleep. Comes back, he says, are you still up? He says, yeah. He says, you're still thinking about that problem? He says, no, I'm thinking about a different problem. He says, what's the different problem? The different problem is when they make like a bagel, he says, there's that hole in the middle. What happened to the dough that was supposed to be in that hole? Like, where did that go? He says, that's what's keeping you up? He says, yeah. He says, okay, fine, that's a good problem. Keep it up, thinking about that bagel, just don't stop. He goes back to sleep, he goes back to his thing, and he's sort of falling asleep, but he's still nervous. And he comes back, and the guard is, Baruch Hashem, still up. And he says to him, you're still thinking about a problem? He says, yeah. He says, okay, let's hear, what's your new problem? He says, well, I sort of resolved the nail problem and I resolved the hole in the bagel problem. He says, but then I started thinking about another problem. He says, this Gevir who I'm working for, he built a state-of-the-art stable with all the security measures, he even hired me as a security guard. And I don't know where the horse is. The horse is gone. And that's what's keeping me up. Reb Simcha Bunim Ipshitzchah used to use this mashal about our life. He used to say that we have everything. We're doing everything for the Rabbeinu Shalom. We hired, you know, we built a stable, we put locks on the stable, we hired guards, we sent our kids to yeshiva, we bought the matzahs, we got the wine, we got the myrrh, we're grinding it, it's going to cause tears in our eyes. We got the Haggadahs ready for Pesach. We're all ready to go. There's only one thing missing. The horse is missing. The Emunah B'Hashem is missing. People go through Starim, and they're able to ask all the four questions and put and throw the ping pong balls around by Barod and put on, you know, frog hats or whatever. But the Emunah is missing. It's amazing. We put thousands of dollars into the Seder night, whether you're at home or in a hotel, and at the end of the night, the horse is gone. The main thing, the Iker Chasim in HaSefer, we don't walk away, V'yadatem ki ani Hashem. That Emunah Pshuta escaped, somehow is able to escape, and we have to go through a whole nother year without having that dose of Emunah, that V'yadatem, that Echad Mi'Yodea is missing. Because we're lacking that basic emunah. That's our job on Seder night. Our Seder night job is to be able to really just speak about the Rabbeinu Shalom. Hemanti ki adaber. The Gevir used to say, Hemanti ki adaber means that the more you talk, the more you believe. If you don't talk about emunah, if you don't speak about the fact that there's a Rabbeinu Shalom, then it's very easy to forget that there is a Rabbeinu Shalom. But if you bring the Rabbeinu Shalom into your life, then there's a Rabbeinu Shalom in the world. The Kotzker used to say, you know where God is found? God is found wherever you let him in. If you let him into your life, he's there. If you shut him out of your life, he's not there. Obviously, he's always here, but he's not here for you. Seder night is the legacy of the Adatem Ki Ani Hashem, Emunah in the purest form. Emunah Pshuta, simple Pashuta Emunah. What I would give to be a water carrier in Warsaw in the 1800s, the Emunah that they had was so great that I don't think any, you know, any big Rosh Hashiva has today. They just lived with the Rabbeinu Shalom. They had horrible conditions, living conditions. They didn't have cars, they didn't have air conditioning, they didn't have heaters, they didn't have money in the bank, they didn't have welfare, they didn't have social security, they didn't have insurance, if they got sick, that was it. There was no Yeshua. If they lose their job, that was it. But they had such emunah in the Rabbeinu Shlom, they lived with the Rabbeinu Shlom, they had such emunah pshuta. Where did they get it from? They got it from Seder night. They were able to sit around eating matzahs, whether it was in a ghetto, whether it was in a concentration camp barrack, whether it was in some camp in one of the Middle Eastern countries where many Jews had to live in squalor in many periods of history. But they had such emunah pshuta, they believed in this. We also believe, but we believe it on like a very intellectual type of way. You know, we have to have, we need discovery programs to believe. We need to see the big letters in the Aseres B'nai Ham in order to believe in God. They believed in God just because they understood implicitly that God exists. They understood the Ramban. They knew this Ramban backwards and forth. They knew it by heart, but not just because they memorized it. They lived it. They understood that they're sheyeda v'sheyeda, sheyeda v'sheyeda, just to know and to, that's why I'm here. You wake up an old Jew in the middle of the night and you ask him, Echa miyadeya? Echa niyadeya? Echa do the kenush v'ashmayim baritz. That's what they'll answer you. Because that's what it is. That's their life. Their life was just simply living with their Rabbeinu Shalom in good times and in bad times. With the purest of belief that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, Gamzu L'tayva, Kol Davar Rachmano L'tav Avid. There is no happier people than those people that believe that. We could have that happiness also. But it starts on the Leil HaSeder. When we have Cheiros from Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim are the Mitzarim, all of the distress that we have, the stress that we have in our life, you know how off the charts the stress is? We're so stressed out over everything, about our grades in college, and about our MCAT scores, and if we're going to get accepted to a graduate program, if we're going to get that job that we want, if we're going to get the promotion, if we're going to be able to find the shidduch, if we're going to find the shidduch for our girls, for our boys, for our this, for our that, we're so stressed out. And everything is tension, everything is stress. We're so nervous. Half the country needs to take medication for their stress, or they have to go to yoga and meditation and whatever. They don't need that necessarily. All they need to know is V'yadatam K'nei Hashem. If you really believe that there's a God who is causing everything, and no matter what happens, it's for the good. Wouldn't life be amazing if we really had that emunah? The Leil HaSeder gives us the Yitzia from these Mitzarim. It's the Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's getting us out of all the tension. The greatest stress breaker in the history of the world was Yitzias Mitzrayim. It showed us that there's a God. It showed us that God runs the big things and the small things, the good things and the bad things. And that's the greatest answer to your question. And that's why the whole Seder, the whole Leil HaSeder is Sheila Tshuva, Sheila Tshuva. You know why? Because to answer that one question at the end of the Seder, Echad Miyadeya, sometimes you need to ask a lot of other questions about the Yitzias Mitzrayim. Once you get Yitzias Mitzrayim straight, and it's real, and you see your father really living it and believing it, and passionate about it, and giving over it with all of his Ramach Evarim Shasahidim, Kalat Smeisei Tamar Hashem Nishmas Kalkai, with Halal, with Kol, with Beis HaKnesses, with Yaim Lufanecha B'Yasecha Anachni, once you have that, obvious Echad Miyadeya. Mitzvah Hashem, we should be zeicha, have a wonderful Yantif. It was a great Zman. The fact that so many of you are still here till the end is really incredible, and I'm grateful that you're here, and I'm grateful that to have you as Talmidim. And I'm hopeful. I'm really hopeful that the Rabbeinu Shalom will take us out of this galus soon, because we need it. There are a lot of Tzaris in Klal Yisrael. There are a lot of people that need Yeshuas and Refuas and Rachmei Shamayim. There are people that need Shiduchim. There are people that need Parnasa. There are people that need Refuas. And only the Rabbeinu Shalom could really bring that about. Only Mashiach coming will really bring the Yeshua that's so really necessary right now in our dar. And so we daven to the Rabbeinu Shalom. We praise him and we daven at the same time. But Nitzak El Hashem. Hasidus Sfarim say that when you get to that part of the Haggadah, but Nitzak El Hashem, you should cry to Hashem for whatever you need and whatever Klal Yisrael needs. Others say that at the beginning of Manishtana, in the fine print, in many Haggadahs, it says, V'kana ben Shayel. Here is where the son asks the Manishtana. But the Hasidus Sfarim say, V'kana ben Shayel means that here is where Bnei Yisrael, the Ben, asks Avinu Shebashamayim whatever we need. This is a night of Emunah, it's a night of Tefillah, it's a night of Ha'al Vaida, it's a night of Sheyeda V'Sheyeda. And the greatest thing that we should be asking the Rabbeinu Shalom before Pesach starts, in these last few hours before the Leil HaSeder is, that we should be Zeicha Alecha Min Azvachem Min Apsachem, that this year we should be Zeicha to be in Yerushalayim Abinuya. The Rabbeinu Shalom should bring Mashiach Tzidkenu. And he should be Gal, Isanu, Me'abdas, Lacheris, all that plagues us, all of our problems, all of our stresses, should be relieved through the Yedatim Kini Hashem, and Mirz Hashem, we should be Zeicha to really fully appreciate the idea of Hashem, the Bias Ve'el Tzedek, and here of Yameinu, Amen, Amen. Have a wonderful afternoon.